our series, part two of this series called Instead. We started this last week. And we basically we're talking about how the idea of Scripture that we see over and over again that Paul teaches throughout the New Testament and is basically that following Jesus means finding an instead. I would normally do this, but Jesus leads me to do something else instead. Amen. And we talked about last week in our very first opener. We're going to be in this for several weeks. But we talked about how basically our main idea here is that if you want to say, well, what's the instead in every situation? Well, we looked at 1 John chapter 2 where he said, listen, live your lives in such a way that you will not need to hide in shame when Jesus comes, but you will be able to come boldly before the throne of God. Amen. So if I want to find the instead is always going to be that which anything that causes me to hide in shame, that's the wrong instead. Do the other thing instead. Amen. If Jesus was to show up right now and in a physical way and we could see him, if I was doing something that would cause me to need to run away and hide, I'd be scared and afraid, I should probably do something else instead. Amen, somebody? And we're going to continue that thought a little bit today, discovering the instead that Jesus has for us. And today we're going to talk about instead, get dressed. I want to, and that's going to make sense in here in just a minute. I'm going to read a few scriptures here from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. You can follow along in YouVersion or it'll be on the screen here for you. Listen, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit, there's that word, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, there's that word again, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let's pray and ask the Lord to show us his instead today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence, your anointing, your spirit, and your grace with us right now in this moment. Lord, I know that you want to speak to hearts and minds and souls today. Lord, I pray that your word would just bring renewal, refreshing, and revival to every heart, mind, and soul. God, that might be struggling, that might be losing hope. Lord, that might be searching for faith today right now. I pray, God, that you will gird that up and let that rise up in our spirits today in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you will speak to each and every one of us individually. Lord God, you speaking to us as a body, but as you do, I pray, God, that you would open up our ears to hear you individually and hear what the instead is that you have for our lives in Jesus' precious name. Put your hands on your belly somewhere. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let me just make a couple of observations here of some things I've noticed in my life. I've been married for this next month we'll celebrate 19 years of marriage. Yes, 19 years. We were married in 2001. It's 2020. Do the math. That's 19 years, right? 19 years of marriage that we celebrate. So I've been living with a woman for 19 years. And the longer I live, and now I have two daughters that are both, in their teens and, for all intents and purposes, not quite yet grown-ups, but are not little girls anymore either. And I just want to say this unequivocally, now that I have lived with three women for a majority part of my life at this point, can I just say this without a doubt, and I believe I have some authority to say it. Listen to me. Women, you are freaking disgusting. You are disgusting creatures to live with. I just have to tell you that right now. I know that men, now you look wonderful and I love you and you look great and you clean yourself up very nicely, but is there any other husbands that are brave enough to admit the truth that living with a woman and living with multiple women is a disgusting endeavor, amen? If it wasn't for, I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for a few very key benefits and perks to being married and living with a woman, it honestly, I would have to wonder if it's worth the headache and the hassle, okay? Now I don't know how men got the bad rap for being the more gross and nasty person of the opposite sex. And maybe it's because our grossness is often on the outside, you know, maybe a little gas here and there and the hair a little bit and might get a little dirty once in a while for doing something. But man, let me tell you something. The things that I have pulled out of the shower drain of my teenage daughter's bathrooms are things that only exist in Stephen King horror movies. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it is a disgusting situation. The bathroom that I have to live in, let me tell you something about my bathroom. We got the dual vanity, right? Two sinks. And when we moved into this house a few years ago, one sink was supposed to be mine and the other sink was supposed to be hers. But over the last, and it didn't take very long at all, I call it, it's continual encroachment. All of her belongings basically come all the way over to my sink and in times land on my sink. And for me to shave, get ready, and fix myself up, and I mean, I take a little bit of maintenance to get myself looking this good every day as well. I need a mirror. I need a sink. I need my space. But I'm constantly having to move things over. And I walk into my bathroom, and it's just a mess of junk everywhere. Amen, somebody. Any men know what I'm talking about? Thank you, men, for being honest. Men of God in this room today, okay? This has nothing to do with my message. I just wanted to get this off my chest, really. but the things that I've pulled out of the drain, look, I can't tell you how many Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoons we return home after church, and I'm usually here early, and Luann comes later with the kids, and she's not here today. She's at home dealing with a migraine a little bit this weekend, and has been struggling a little bit, so she decided to stay home today, but I did ask her permission to share this, so I'm not just ragging on her because she's not here. She told me, she's like, I don't care. So anyway, I can't tell you how many Sunday mornings I've walked into our bedroom to change clothes and put on some sweatpants and relax, maybe take that glorious little Sunday afternoon nap, and I walk into my bedroom, and it looks like literally a bomb has went off. Every dresser drawer is open. Clothes are out all over the place. I mean, literally, like somebody was trying to, I'm like, were you thinking of leaving me this morning? Because it looked like you were packing in a hurry. Everything's out. And I'm like, what happened up here? What happened? I was looking for something to wear. Anybody ever experienced one of those moments, okay? And I'm like, well did you not, why didn't we think to put anything back? I don't know. And so this is what we live with. And it's just, I just needed to say it. I just needed somebody to hear it. Thank you for letting me share that with you today. I can't tell you this too. I can't tell you how many times even my wife will grab something and smell it, like a shirt, and then be like, hey, is this too bad to wear again? You know what I mean? Now that might be another level, but I'm like, dude, the thing, if you have to ask me if it's too bad to wear again, it's probably too bad to wear again, amen? And so that's kind of the idea that Paul is talking about when he says, take off the old man, take off the old sinful nature, and in Christ, put on something new. What Paul is saying is, listen, stop wearing your old stuff that's dirty and stinks. Change your clothes. As a follower of Jesus, we're supposed to have changed our clothes, changed what we're wearing, changed what we're doing, changed who we are, and we are supposed to be putting on something new in Jesus. You follow me so far? Following Jesus, listen, if you want a real simple definition of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, okay? Following Jesus begins with a relationship with him. It starts with somewhere you say, like many of you have done in a service just like this or in a church moment just like this where you've raised your hand and accepted his sacrifice on the cross, what he did 2,000 years ago. Some of you watching at home or right here today, that might be the moment that God has for you to begin this life of faith right now, today. You're going to have an opportunity to do that. But beyond that initial moment where you say yes and surrender your heart and your mind and your past and your life and your present and your future all to Jesus, now what that means is I'm following Jesus from that moment on. And if you want to know what following Jesus means, following Jesus very simply means that I am taking off my old sin, my old nature, my old stuff, my old who I used to be, and I'm literally, and Paul, he actually talks about putting on the new man, or putting on Jesus, or putting on the Spirit. This is a phrase that is used all over, and in the Greek, it literally means to fall back or to put on a garment of clothes. So he uses this illustration of changing clothes like we do, hopefully every day, of changing clothes. He's using that as to illustrate the change that happens as we follow Jesus instead of our flesh. Amen? And I want to say this from the outset. Listen to me very close. Paul says very clearly in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, what we just read a few moments ago, he says, throw off your sinful nature. Put it away. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life. You know what he doesn't say? He doesn't say simply cover up your sinful nature with a bunch of religious practices. He doesn't say cover up your old man with a bunch of cross necklaces and Jesus tattoos and a bunch of good works and a bunch of doing all the stuff that you think you're supposed to do. Paul says to take off or put away or throw away that old stuff so that you can actually put on something new. Amen? Now, can you imagine? Listen, I don't know. The reason I'm a sweater. I don't know if you can tell that out there today. I don't know how much I'm glistening yet, but I'm a sweater, okay? When I work out, in fact, when I even think about working out, I start to sweat. Anybody else? Okay? I like to lift weights. I lift weights very often. It's a big part of my life. Listen, I have, do you ever have, has anybody have like that old work shirt that it has collected so much sweat over the years that the sweat won't wash out of it? You know what I'm talking about? And so like you can wash it and it might be okay. But the moment, like I've got some gym shirts like this and I can't bring myself to get rid of them, because I got the sleeves cut out just right, you know what I mean? But I got a few of those shirts that like the moment that you start to sweat in it, all the other years of sweat starts to come out of the fabric and it's like, oh, that's a nasty thing. That's disgusting, right? You're like, what are you, this is the grossest sermon ever. It's gonna get cleaned up later. Anybody got, am I the only person with shirts like that? Okay, I guess so. Somebody say on the comments, so I'm not alone, just even if you gotta lie, so I feel better. Just say, I've got something like that too. anyway, I got something like that, okay? But I couldn't imagine taking that nasty, sweaty gym clothes where I've just been working out, I've just been cutting the grass, I've just been working in the yard, raking leaves or whatever, that's all disgusting. Listen, nobody in their right mind, unless you're just a nasty, dirty joker, nobody would take those nasty clothes, leave them on your body, and then throw on a $3,000 Armani suit and just cover over the nasty junk and then feel like you got it taken care of. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Amen? Well, that's exactly when we are not doing what the scripture says here to actually throw off or put away or take off the old man. All we're doing is just simply covering up with Christ, with religion, with even maybe good things and probably things we should be doing. If we don't actually take off or change or get rid of the old stuff that we've been used to and holding on to, all we're doing, friend, is just simply covering up what God has told us to put away. Is just like putting on a nice suit or a tux or something real nice over top of some nasty, sweaty gym clothes that stink. You know what's going to happen? You might look real good for a few moments, and you might even look up, and you might get away with it for a little while, but eventually the junk underneath that you're simply covering up and not changing and getting rid of, guess what? Eventually it's going to start to smell right through that Armani suit. Come on, somebody. Right through them new clothes. And so listen, this is the encouragement we got to have right off the bat when we talk about finding the instead is this. Listen, stop trying to cover up what Jesus has said to take off. Amen? Stop. If I want to find instead, if I want to follow Jesus instead, and I want to begin to do the instead in my life that leads to me being able to come boldly before the throne of God instead of running and hiding in shame before the throne of God, then I've got to stop trying to simply cover up my old nature and my old sin and my own nasty stuff. I've got to stop trying to simply cover that up with a bunch of Jesus talk or a bunch of good stuff, and I've got to actually do the work to take that off and get that out of my life. Amen? Stop trying to cover up what Jesus has said to take off. Now, here's where this takes place. Here's where this starts to happen. It's right in Scripture. I'm just going to go right down this text here, verse 23. He says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. The bridge between me taking off the old man and finding the new man instead is a renewed mind, renewed heart, renewed thoughts. It's a change in mind. Let me say it this way. A changed mind is the bridge between taking off the old and putting on the new instead. Amen, somebody? How many want to put on the new today? How many would put on the new instead, okay? Then that's what that starts. That starts with me changing my mind towards the old and changing my mind towards the instead that Jesus has for me. And in this scripture, I want to talk about just a couple of changes in our mind that will begin to help us find the instead, some ways that we can renew and change our mind. The first thing is this. Listen to me close. Okay, again, we're talking about this word instead. It's twice right here in the scripture. It's used over 80 times in the New Testament. Instead, instead, instead. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and minds. Okay, so if I want to find instead, I've got to realize this. Listen now. Instead is intentional. Okay, say it again. Instead is intentional. I will not just accidentally wake up one morning and stumble upon Jesus's instead for my life. I will have to make a clear-cut, defined, definitive decision that when I wake up on Monday morning, I am going to serve Jesus instead. I'm going to follow his instead of my way. And that has to be a decision that I intentionally make every single moment in every single day in every single opportunity of my life. And the best way for me to make that decision, listen, that's why Paul says, if you want to make that decision because it's intentional, then you've got to actually take off the old and put that away. Because as long as the old is still available to you, you will always be struggling with whether or not I'm going to serve God today or whether or not I'm going to do my own thing today. Amen? So it's got to be intentional. You know, they said Albert Einstein bought multiple of the same gray suits. He had like 7 or 8 of the exact same gray suits that he wore every single day of his life. And one day somebody asked Albert Einstein, I said, why do you wear the same clothes every single day? Why do you have a closet full of the exact same gray suit, tie, and shirt that you wear every single day? And Einstein's answer was this. He said, I do not wish to waste precious brain power on trying to decide what I'm going to wear each and every day. So I just filled up my closet. True story. You know who else did that more recently? Steve Jobs. Founder of Apple, he was known to wear the exact same black turtleneck and stonewashed mom jeans. You go look at pictures, he has the same outfit on every single time, right? He has the black, he worth billions of dollars. He's wearing white New Balance grass cutting shoes, stonewashed denim mom jeans, and a black turtleneck, right? That's it. That was his deal. Why? The same answer as Einstein. I don't want to spend time deciding what I want to wear every day. You know, in our life, listen, I feel like sometimes in my Christian life, I'm guilty of looking at a closet and going, okay, what am I going to wear today? What am I going to do today? And what I need to do is put away everything that's not Jesus and just decide, you know what? I don't have to wait. I don't have to waste time worrying about who I'm going to be or what I'm going to put on tomorrow, because I've already made a decision today intentionally. I'm going to wake up and find the instead that Jesus has for me anyway. So I've got to remove the options. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, put off the old man. Take off the old clothes. Remove the options. And when I do that, that has to be an intentional decision that I make. Amen? Instead is going to be intentional. Okay? So I got to change my mind there. I got to let my mind be renewed to the idea that I have already made my decision. That whatever Jesus says, that's what I'm going to do instead. I've got to make the decision in my heart. Whatever Jesus leads, whatever the Word of God tells me that I'm supposed to do, That's what I'm going to do. No other option is available to me. I'm going to put everything else out of my closet. I'm taking everything else out. Listen, that's the decision. That's the intentional. Instead is intentional. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say it's intentional. The second thing we need to change our mind to is this. Listen to this, what it says. Verse 24. He says, put on, that's what he's talking about. Take, so verse 22, you take off your old clothes. You don't just cover them up, but you got to take off the old. Take off the old, nasty, sweaty gym clothes. Take off in verse 24. And in verse 23, renew your mind. That's the bridge. Verse 24 is now then we, once I change my mind, I now put on, watch this, put on your new nature. Listen, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Here's the second thing I want you to renew your mind and change your mind about when we talk about finding his instead. Listen to me close. Don't buy into the lie that you may be believing that says and tells you that you are just a no good, low down, dirty, rotten, scoundrel and sinner who is destined from this moment until the day you barely crawl your way to heaven, that you are just destined to be this nasty, low down, dirty sinner. Okay? Listen, you and I, the human race, mankind, we were not created to live in the perpetual state of sin that we are born into in this world. If you go all the way back to creation, all the way back to Genesis, God, when he created man, what did he say? He said it was good. Okay? Our nature, our godly created nature, what God created and breathed life into us, that is created to be righteous and holy before God. Okay? Amen, somebody? I know, I hear your gears grinding. But wait a minute. The Bible says we're all sinners. We're all doomed to sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. Yes, we do. That is the result of sin that exists as a plague in the world. But Jesus came and he overcame sin. He abolished sin. He has done away with sin. And in Christ, we have been given the grace and the power and the strength and the presence of the Holy Spirit to live as we were actually created to be. Now we have a lot of talk and a lot of confusing talk about people, you know, I'm trying to discover myself. I'm just trying to discover my true nature. I'm just trying to be who I was really created to be. I got news for you. This book says that you and I were created. Put the scripture back up there again, please, verse 24. What does it say we were created for? Look at this. We were created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. That is your true nature. Any sin that manifests as a natural part of the sin that you and I struggle with, that is actually not part of your created nature. See, some people have this idea that in order to serve God, what you're doing when you surrender to Jesus and you're following the instead, or you're following what the Word of God tells, that somehow what Jesus wants to do and what Scripture wants to do and what God wants to do is to somehow break you and deny you of your nature. But that's not true. It's only in Christ and it's only in his instead that you can actually ever discover your actual true nature. Amen? Your nature was created to be like God, truly righteous and truly holy. That is your true nature. What we exist outside of Christ and what we call our nature, that is your sinful carnal nature, but it is not your created nature. And to discover your created nature, I have to find Jesus. And I have to find his instead. Listen, finding instead means finding what you were truly created for. Finding your instead actually unleashes your created nature. It does not deny it. You follow me so far? Well, you know, it's just not natural. You know what I mean? We're just kids, and this is just part of growing up, and this is just part of being a young adult, and this is just part of finding, you know, it's just not natural. It's just not natural for people. Let's just take one little thing. It's just unnatural for people to live, you know, in monogamy and for man and wife. And that's just, you know, my nature is leading me to do something different. Listen to me, friend. That's not your created nature. Your created nature is to be like God. You have a sinful nature on the inside of you that might push you to do something, but what that sinful nature is actually pushing you to do is something that you were not created for. You follow me? Your sinful nature will lead you to do something that is actually unnatural to who God created you to be. Well, religion is just all about denying myself and denying my nature. No, it is about discovering your true nature. Amen? Change your mind today. Change your mind today. Recognize and realize that you were created to be like God. You know, you go through these next few verses, and he kind of gets real practical about what that new nature actually looks like, what you were actually created for. Verse 25, stop telling lies. Let us not lie to our neighbors. And then verse 20, so basically says choose truth instead of lies, okay? He says, then the next couple of verses we read, we're not going to read them all again right now. He says, so choose truth instead of lies. And he says, don't be controlled by anger, okay? Don't be controlled by anger. He says instead of stealing, give and work hard. He says, instead of being abusive and being stingy with your words, and instead of bringing people down with what you say and the talk and the words coming out, he says, instead be encouraging. What he's describing there is what your actual nature is. And that actual nature can only be discovered in Christ. But listen to me close. Listen, you were created to choose truth instead of a lie. Amen, somebody? You and I were created to speak truth instead of a lie. You were created to choose peace instead of rage and anger. Amen? Okay? I got to look in the mirror and tell myself that all the time. Okay? Justin Bradley? As natural as it is for you to flip out, that's actually not what I was created for. Come on, somebody. We were not created to be at odds with each other all the time. We were actually created to live in peace. You're actually not created to be a thief and to steal. You're created to work, and you're actually not. And then he says, work hard and then give generously. You're not created to be greedy and stingy. You're created to give and to be generous. You're not created to hurt people and bring people down. You're created to bring words of encouragement and life to people. That is our true nature. Now, I don't know about you, but I read that, and those are all a bunch of insteads. Instead of lies, choose truth. Instead of anger, choose peace. Instead of greed, choose generosity. Instead of stealing, choose working. Instead of abusive, foul language, choose encouraging, uplifting language. I don't know about y'all, that sounds a little like heaven on earth to me. Amen? Can you imagine if over the next 4 weeks in our nation, we chose those instead of what we have right now? We'd be living in a totally different environment, wouldn't we? That's literally heaven on earth. See, I wonder, and I know we think heaven on earth is like when Jesus says, pray, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think that is like some kind of ethereal, mystical, spiritual, theoretical thing. And it is divine, and it is spiritual, and it is mystical. And it is otherworldly. But it's also very practical in that if I would simply choose the instead, I will actually experience heaven on earth in my life. Amen? If we chose truth instead of lies, we would experience that part of heaven in our lives. If I chose peace instead of anger and rage and fighting, I would actually experience the peace of heaven and the kingdom in my life on earth. Amen? Listen, heaven on earth does not have to be some mystical far-off thing where we get goosebumps and we see a cloud come into a room and all those things can happen. That's wonderful. It's miraculous. It's great. We want to see the glory of God. But the glory of God can actually be discovered as we simply choose the instead in our everyday choices intentionally. Amen, somebody? The third part of instead is this. Look at Romans chapter 13. We need to change our mind towards His presence. And the change of mind towards God's presence should be this, that the presence of God becomes the number one priority in my life. That's what I want operating in my life. Amen? Listen to Paul uses very similar language, but he doesn't go into quite the practical detail that he does in Ephesians, but he says basically the same thing to Romans, but he says it this a little different way. Listen to this, Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Instead, there's this word. I told you this word's all over the place. Instead, clothe yourself. Actually, let me read verse 13. I don't think I gave him that to put on, but let's just read this verse. He says, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. So basically all the sinful stuff that we saw in Ephesians 4, lies, rage, all that, he's kind of listing that a little different ways, but basically the same thing. Everybody got that? Follow me so far? And then he says this. Here's the instead. He says, instead, verse 14, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. So Paul says, if you want to conquer your sinful nature, and if you want to find out how to discover your true nature, what you were actually created for, says the way to do that is to turn yourself and put on and go after with everything that you have the presence of Jesus and focus your heart. I see, and I've said this before, and you've heard me say this before, listen, the way to defeat sin, the way to put off the old man, the way to conquer the things in your old nature, your sinful nature, that feel like they have you bound and feel like they're a giant mountain, and you're sitting there today telling me, Pastor, that's all well and good, but you don't know how deep the struggle is. You don't know how many years I've carried this thing. You don't know how big of a deal. I get it. I know. I carry some of those. I've carried those things too. I struggle with those things too. I'm not sitting high above you saying, look at me. I'm in the trenches with you. What I'm saying is this, though. The way to defeat those things and to get freedom from those things is not to turn your attention towards those things. The way to do it is to clothe yourself or to turn towards or to put your attention and your focus on the presence of God. Make the goal, listen, the goal is not simply to get over or be free or conquer a bunch of sin. See, the sin is just what's in between me and Jesus. The sin and the subsequent when I sin, when I fail, the subsequent shame and condemnation and guilt that I feel when I do something I know I'm messed up. All that is separate. That's just what is separating me from the presence of God. My goal is to be as close to Jesus as humanly possible and still be on this planet. Amen? That's what I'm turning toward. That's what Paul says. Paul says, put on the presence of God. Turn yourself towards the presence of God. Give yourself towards the pursuit of His presence. And if that becomes the number one desire, change my mind to, if that's the thing that I want, then guess what? All the other stuff is just simply stuff in the way of that, and I've got to get rid of or move out of the way or get over anything that's going to hinder me from the presence of God. Amen, somebody? We've got to make the presence of God the thing that we want more than anything else. So in this moment, what's the instead? You can apply this principle any moment you have in your life. Watch this now. Because guess what? Tomorrow morning, or maybe even it may wait until tomorrow afternoon, maybe even later sometime this week, some point, you're going to be standing in front of that closet and you're going to be deciding, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to put on? What nature am I going to give into? Who am I going to be? Am I going to unleash the actual created nature that God has for me? Or am I going to slip into some old stuff that Jesus really has already conquered? What do I do? Here's what you do. You choose whichever thing gets you closer to Jesus. That's what you do instead. And if there's anything that you feel like is going to push you away from that walk with God, then it's real easy to understand. That's what I got to put away. That's what I'm getting rid of. And I hold on to those things which are going to bring me closer to Christ, closer to His presence, knowing more of Him. That's the instead. Stand in the Lord's place this morning. Anything that takes me away from the presence of God is probably something that Paul is saying, put that thing away. Take that thing off. That's the old. That's the old nature. That's the old stuff. That's the old junk. That's the stuff you don't need anymore. Put on those things, which are going to get you closer to Christ. It really can be, and it really is that simple. Guys, serving Jesus, following Jesus, it is not as complicated as we have made it out to be. It's not. The complications come when I do my thing and do what I want to do, and then everything gets all jacked up and crazy and haywire, and then I've got to bring God this giant mess of tangled Christmas lights and be like, hey man, I've really messed this up. Can you untangle all this and fix it for me? Man, His grace and mercy, He will and He does time and time and time again. But as He's pulling it out, that's where all the complications come from. That's where all the struggle comes from. That's where all the pain comes from. But if I simply just do what He wants me to do instead, a lot of that's going to get taken care of. We're still struggling. I'm not talking about struggle. We're still going to struggle. We're still going to find mountains to climb. We're still going to have dark days. We're still going to be led. But I'm not carrying around this weight of guilt and shame and all this other stuff, wondering if I'm even in His presence. See, Psalm 23 says, the Lord's my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. Right? Leads me beside the good path. But also says, talks about even leads me when I go into the dark moments. He's also there guiding me. Amen? See, the rough part, the scary part, is when you go into a dark season and you don't, His presence isn't with you. Because you've walked away. Because you've put on something else. That's unbearable. It's His presence. Amen, somebody? Will you close your eyes all over this place just in a moment? Just so we can take a few moments here to just focus on the Lord and just take some time with the Holy Spirit, let God talk to you as an individual son or daughter of God. You know, the Lord might be talking to you, the Lord might be convicting your heart right now of some things that you've got hanging up in your closet at home. And obviously, I don't mean physically, like your actual, obviously, I mean like in your heart. Things that you've just kind of let hang on to that the Lord might be dealing with you about and saying, man, it's time to put that thing away. It's time to put that thing away. It's time to get intentional about you instead. Remove that from the equation. And if that is where you're at, if that's something that God's talking to you about, man, I just want to encourage you right now, before you leave this moment, before you go and do whatever else you've got to do today, if you're watching online, wherever you are, man, before you leave this time and turn, tune out, take some time right now where you are. Find an altar. Make an altar, whether it's at your seat in this chair, you come in front, or you do it wherever you are. And just give that thing to God. Say, Lord, I'm going to give that to You. Help me to put that away. In Jesus' name. place this morning, and man, you're not following Jesus, you know you're not following him, you're not living your life for him in any way, shape, or form, whether you're in the building, you're watching online, man, you're like, man, I'm far away from God, I don't know him. I want you to know something, man, Jesus loves you. He's not mad at you. In fact, he loves you so much that 2,000 years ago, the Bible says that he came and lived on this earth as a regular man, gave up all of his godly abilities, gave up all of his godliness, and lived as a man. And he did that because he was living the life in our place that Scripture demands that we live. Scripture demands that we live sinless. Scripture demands that we live perfect. Scripture demands that we don't break any of the laws of God. Sin has caused us to do all of that. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came and lived the life that we are all commanded to live in our place. And then he not only did that, he then took the punishment that we all deserve because of that same sin. He died the death that we all deserve to die in our place. And then he offers himself as a free gift to you and me and says, just if you want to know me, if you want to experience that, if you want to receive what the Bible calls salvation from your own sin, he says, listen, you don't have to go through the stuff that you don't have to do it all yourself. Jesus says, I've already done it. I've already lived the life and I've paid the price and gave my life, and now he gives that life back to you and me. And all you got to do is receive that for your own self, recognizing, man, my sin puts me in a place where I deserve to die because of that sin. I've broken the laws of God. But Jesus, you took that place for me. That's what we mean when we say become a follower of Jesus and accept what he's given. And today, if you've never done that, you can. Or maybe you did that a long time ago, maybe in a VBS or a Sunday school or in a church service like this. Maybe you made that decision. Maybe you raised a hand before. Maybe you prayed some prayers before. But man, you walked out of there for whatever reason where you are right now. That moment is not applicable to your life. That is not a part of your life. And you're like, man, today I need to renew that commitment. I want to renew that walk with God. Wherever you are, the same Jesus loves you. The same sacrifice is available to you. The same thing Jesus did for you and me 2,000 years ago. Man, you can receive that for your life right now today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you to raise your hand just as a way to say, yes, man. A response has to happen. Just as a way to respond. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, man, if that's where you are, say, man, either for the first time or maybe even for the 100th time, Lord, I want to receive that sacrifice for my life. Will you just raise your hand right now? Raise your hand right now. Amen. Amen. I see a couple of hands up. Amen. Thank you. Everybody in this room, pray with me out loud so you can hear it. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, man, just comment right there in the comment section. Let us know that you're praying that prayer today. Everyone in this room, pray this prayer out loud. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned, but I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Help me to live for you from this moment on. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for living for me. In Jesus' name, help me to live for you. Amen. Holy Spirit, make that real. Make that prayer real. Holy Ghost, do what your word says that you were promised to do, which is to come and bear witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Lord, make that happen right now in our souls. In Jesus' precious name, Lord. And Heavenly Father, right now, I want you to lift your hands, everyone in this room, just receive this way. Let's just pray together as we end our time together. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you would make your presence the instead that we go after every single moment. Lord, no matter how long, whether we just prayed that prayer and are just now getting right with you and just now coming into relationship with you, or Lord, we've been serving you for a long time. God, we've been pursuing you for a long time. Lord, I pray wherever we are on that spectrum, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your presence would continually be the instead that we go after, and that, Lord, anything that gets in the way of that, anything that we need to put off and put away and take off that is standing in the way of that, I pray that you would help us to do that, Father, in a huge and big way, God, without even thinking about it. God, let your presence be the thing that completely consumes our pursuits in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. These altars are open. If you need prayer today, there's going to be prayer people ready to pray with you. Now stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you.